I'm Russ Armstrong, the Chicago window guy. Don't fall for those buy one, get one free window offers. We make and install our own windows and doors with no subcontracted labor and a lifetime warranty. Call for a free quote on the best windows at the lowest price. Check out my reviews at ChicagoWindowGuys.com and call me today at 847-881-3060. Don't put up with pushy sales tactics, outrageous prices, and shoddy workmanship. If you're looking for new windows or doors, call me today. Russ Armstrong, the Chicago window guy at 847-881-3060. That's 847-881-3060.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good.
Wow.
That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you, with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
6David.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Well, I certainly appreciate the support from our Patriots fans in China.
China?
China.
China, because China...
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Let's get to Les. Les is in Oak Park. Hey, Les.
Good morning, Les.
Hi, guys. I really appreciate you putting me on with all the experts you have on. But I wanted to get something in before the Super Bowl, just in case it goes to overtime. Hmm. I want to talk about the overtime rule.
Okay.
The problem is the networks and the NFL, because they get advertising money, don't want a quick solution to overtime, so they don't interfere with subsequent programming. Everybody else, you guys and all the fans, want it to be fair. And that's the problem. How do you make it quick and fair? Consider this. Each team gets two possessions in overtime. If it's still a tie, you go to a field goal kickoff, just like in golf and soccer. Hang on. Golf and soccer.
Yeah, we're not really going to get much into that.
I hate that.
I don't like
soccer.
That either.
I know,
hate
it. So many games are decided by kicks anyway. Just look at the statistics.
No.
Here are the two modes. You either have a home run derby mode, in which each you go to the 45 and the 50, the best out of five and the best out of three, or you start
so
at the
you
45,
you
each
wanna,
guy gets one.
Les, you want to solve? You want to resolve the Super Bowl with a field goal kicking
I don't
contest.
Like that idea. I think
how many games are resolved by field goals anyway?
Not the biggest one of the year.
No.
I just feel like that's a gimmick. It's too gimmicky.
I feel like
the problem, part of the problem, my own personal opinion is that the coin flip is too gimmicky to have so much writing on it. So I understand the premise. I understand what happened in the title games, the conference championships.
What's the premise?
The premise is that, well, you can't complain about the Chiefs not getting the ball because in the other game, the Saints got the ball and didn't do anything with it. And so the Rams defense made a play. And so that kind of, that balances out the other side of the argument.
It's actually, if you break down the numbers, it's like 50-50.
It is 50-50.
So if that's the case, then haven't they resolved it?
Well, I don't like the idea of a game being decided by chance like that. And to me, a coin flip is chance. It's not a game. There's nothing on your roster that can control a coin flip. You can control your roster to make yourself a defense that, you know, gets the ball back.
Yeah, I mean, we should discuss this at length. But I mean, I think it's a terrible idea to have a field goal kickoff contest.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't like that. I know you don't. Let's get to Ryan Hannibal. He's our man working for WEEI in Boston, covering the Patriots heading into Super Bowl 53. Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
Hey, Ryan.
What's going on, guys? Not too much.
Yeah, we are, we're kind of picking apart the game now. We're having some fun talking about the matchups and all the rest of it. And I'm just curious, you know, Dante Scarnecchia is a guy that that we know was a great offensive line coach, you know, took a step back at one point. No, we really need you. And Tom is always talking about him and always singing his praises. This might be as big a challenge as he's going to have here, because you look at the way Sue is playing, and obviously Aaron Donald is a very unique and formidable a player. You combine those guys, you look at the ends. This, if they can rush with just four, and if they can hit Brady with the two guys inside, it's going to be awful hard for the Patriots to win this game. But their line's playing great. Is this the battle? Is this the game?
I completely agree with you. I think that's where the game's going to be decided. If the Patriots' offensive line can control the Rams' defensive line and, you know, not only protect Tom Brady, but also find holes for the running backs to run through, because like we talked about before, the Patriots' running game is the part of the offense that sort of gotten them to this point in the postseason. And if they don't have a running game on Sunday, then they probably have zero chance of winning the game, because I don't think you can have Tom Brady drop back, you know, 40, 45 times and expect to win. That just isn't going to happen. And I will say the one thing that, you know, really frustrates Brady when it comes to pressure is up the middle. And that seems to be where the Rams' strength is on the defensive line. You know, when it comes on the edges, he has the ability to step up in the pocket, and that's when he's at his best. But when it comes in the middle, he has trouble just because of, you know, his athletic ability to move left and right. So it's better for a defense to come at him up the middle. And that's what the Rams are good at. So, you know, it could be a tough test for the Patriots offensive line come Sunday.
And, Ryan, a lot of people are giving the Rams a shot defensively because of Wade Phillips and because of what he did against Tom Brady and the Patriots in the 2015 AFC Championship game in terms of that game plan, that scheme, and that effectiveness. And yet, found your column on WEEI.com very interesting because you suggest that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that Wade Phillips had that plan successfully executed against Tom Brady and the Patriots in 2015 because this is a different team and this is a different year.
Yeah, that team was pretty bad in 2015. They had so many injuries, a number of talented players, an injured reserve. And if you look at the box score in that game, Tom Brady was the leading rusher for the Patriots with 13 yards. Like, that's crazy. It's Steven Jackson getting four carries for 8 yards. You had nothing on the ground. You had, you know, that working against you. There was also center Brian Stork was tipping off the snap count by his head bobbing, and the Denver defense picked up on that. So that was another reason why they got after him so much. And then you just look at the weapons that Brady had to work with. You know, you were talking about guys like Keyshawn Martin, Brandon Bolden, just, you know, being major factors in the offense. And this year is just, I'm not saying this year's Patriots team is, you know, super talented and one of the best he's ever had, but it's way better than what he had then. And so I just think it's a totally different team, and there's more weapons to go around for Tom Brady.
The amazing thing about this team is that they are playing their best football when it matters most. They have, you know, and I don't know if Belichick can do that every year. It seems like he can, where they seem to peak at the right time all the time. And now you look at the roster, you know, they got tons of draft picks. I mean, this is, Brady's got to stick around. I get it. But this looks like another reload here. It looks like this is maybe the extra trip you weren't expecting before you got better and started making more regular trips, if that sounds crazy.
I'm sort of with you there. I mean, Rob Gronkowski's probably going to retire after the season, but when you look at what they have coming up in the draft, they have 10 draft picks and a number of picks in the first three rounds. So they can really move around the draft board however they want. They can, you know, package a couple picks, move up into the first round. They can take players where they're at. You know, they certainly have some positions that they need to address to get younger at, but you're looking at a sense where you can, you know, flip the page to sort of the next run, and you have all these pieces in place to do so. And I guess you're probably building this run around Tom Brady as your quarterback for the next, you know, 2, 3, who knows, 4 or 5 years. And, you know, everyone can build a team around that. And you have, you know, guys, still core young defensive players that you can build around. And then, you know, you have guys in the back end that are getting older, like Devin McCourty, Jason McCourty, Patrick Chung. But that's just what you talked about. It's a reload. You have all these draft picks. So you have the ability to reload. So I think it's sort of like you said, this is sort of an unexpected, you know, Super Bowl run. But, you know, everyone around in New England will take it.
You know, Ryan, you were there yesterday. You mentioned Gronk and talking retirement. And I thought that his comments yesterday about the toll that football and it takes on the body, he was somewhat even reflective, it seemed like, for Gronk. And he went into detail about just how difficult practice can be and how much people don't realize the physical nature and the punishment that these guys endure. What was your biggest takeaway from that exchange?
I think that was honestly the most telling comment we've had from him, you know, talking about his potential retirement. I mean, he sort of, you know, acknowledged that it's a possibility in recent weeks, but never really gone in depth as to, you know, why exactly it's happening. And, you know, everybody's heard the rumors, but not out of his mouth directly. And that changed yesterday. And it's true. I mean, he was getting, you know, a lot of crap back home in New England this season for his lack of production and how he didn't look the same. And I don't think people understand, you know, he's been playing, he takes more hits than almost any player in the league. And, you know, safeties are coming at him high, low. He's getting hit all over, concussion. So he's had back surgeries going back to Arizona. And I just think that that was sort of him reflecting how he feels, that, you know, everybody expects him to be 100% even after, you know, a game. They're wondering why, you know, he's not 100% at practice, you know, a Wednesday after a Monday game when he took so many hits in that game. And I just think that that was the first time we've sort of seen him, you know, put it out there as to why, you know, he's looking into retirement, just because he doesn't want to put his body through it anymore. And, you know, he can go off and do other things and make money acting, maybe wrestling. He has the opportunity to do that. And I don't think that he necessarily needs, you know, to go through another season of putting his body through what it's gone through.
Ryan, I know it's not related to the Rams, or to the Patriots, but Roger Goodell had his moment in the sun. He talked about all the issues, including whether or not the right team is there. And then Sean Payton was wearing a Goodell clown T-shirt, maybe under his shirt. He wasn't overt about it, but that's something that is very popular in New England.
Yeah.
Can the Patriots fans agree with the Saints fans on Roger Goodell? Are they still very upset about the Flategate, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. The Roger Goodell is always going to be hated in New England. I think that Saints and Patriots fans could probably come together and, you know, bond over this like they've already had. It is crazy. Like, even just the postseason, like the Patriots fans were giving Roger Goodell crap for going to one of the divisional round games that wasn't in New England. Like, oh, he doesn't want to show his face in New England, blah, blah, blah. Like this happened how many years ago? And, you know, Patriots fans are still holding on to it. Like, he's avoiding the Patriots and avoiding New England. It really is crazy. And, you know, like, the Patriots won the Super Bowl after Deflategate. Like, it really is crazy. He took away a draft pick, sure, but, you know, they still went to the Super Bowl. Things are still going great in New England, but this is a grudge that will never go away. So maybe Saints and Patriots fans can bond and, you know, wear those Goodell clown T-shirts, you know, around town together.
Ryan, Robert Kraft made some headlines yesterday talking about how he would be surprised if Tom Brady walked away, but that wasn't really news, was it?
No, not at all. I think that was sort of everybody walked away from that brief, you know, meeting with the local media. Like, what came out of that? And there was, well, he talked about Brady. Well, What didn't we know? You know, he's been saying the same thing for, you know, the last several weeks and years for that matter. So that's the topic that keeps getting brought up with Brady and even Belichick when he's talking about it, Brady himself. Like, it's not news. Everybody knows he's coming back. He's under contract for next year. I guess the biggest thing is he only has one more year left on his deal. He's going to be a free agent after next season. So probably this offseason we're going to see an extension with him, especially to spread out his cap hit, which is $23 million next year. So I don't think the team wants to go into the year with that much at the quarterback position. So I would probably say that the biggest, you know, news thing to come from this week on that sense is that it seems like the team is open to extending him, and they're not going to want to go into next year just with him having only one year remaining.
I think we can all agree that he's, you know, the greatest, if not – he's one of the greatest, if not the greatest quarterback ever. And we can argue about who would be, but he's right there. And I think we have the same argument with Belichick. I think there's an acceptance of both those guys being the tops ever at their positions, being a head coach, being a quarterback. Who needs who more? Would Brady have been able to win, make these trips without the coach? Would the coach have done this without Brady?
It's a good question, a loaded one. I kind of think it's Belichick needs Brady. I think that, you know, you look around the NFL and all these teams that make good runs, they have good quarterbacks, and they have, you know, the great quarterbacks, the ones that are winning Super Bowls. So I think if you put Bill Belichick on a team that doesn't have a very good quarterback, I don't think he's going to be doing the same things that he's doing. You just, you know, he says it all the time, the players are the ones that win games, not the coaches. And so I do think if you gave Tom Brady an average coach and an above average coach, would he be going to all of these Super Bowls? Maybe not, but I still think he's going to a good amount of them just because the players are the ones that, you know, make the plays in the games and the ones that advance these big games. I think that, you know, it comes down to players making the plays, and that's where Brady comes in.
Ryan, a year ago at this time, around this time, the Patriots were headed into the Super Bowl, and there's a lot of friction, a lot of reports of, you know, disharmony and dysfunction within the ranks and between Kraft and Belichick and Brady. Was that overblown? What changed? How much different is it a year later?
I don't think it was necessarily overblown because I do think there was some stuff there, but I think that they, you know, they used that honestly to come together. I'm not saying they needed something like that to happen, but they are definitely more in sync this year. I think they had sort of a sit down, the three of them last offseason, sort of, you know, laid out how things were going to go and how, you know, they were going to handle Brady's situation. I think his thing was the biggest part in that. And I think, you know, I think Bill sort of realized that he's working with a guy that's not like a typical NFL player. I mean, he's 41 years old. So there was some concessions made where, hey, you can not go to OTAs. You can spend that time with your family because that's, you know, your kids are older. You're not like a 22-year-old guy that doesn't have, you know, a wife and kids at home. So you can do that. And then the Alex Guerrero thing, that was a big topic as well. And I think there was an understanding there where they sort of told Tom, you know, maybe not, let's not bring up Alex every single press conference that you give and bring up how great he is. Why don't you, you know, put that on the down low and it won't be a story. And that's sort of how the year has gone. Brady hasn't talked about Guerrero and he really hasn't been a story. He has his access back. He's in the locker room after games. He's around the facility. So he's still around. It's just not, you know, being brought up every single press conference.
Did Garoppolo's injury change things too? It seemed like Bill was very upset that they made that trade.
Yeah. I don't know if necessarily the injury, you know, played any factor in things changing. But, yeah, that was – if you go back, let's say, you know, a year and a half ago, I think Bill Belichick wanted to keep Jimmy Garoppolo and wanted, you know, basically wanted Tom Brady to maybe retire after last year or this year and go into another run with Garoppolo and prove that he can win with a quarterback other than Tom Brady. And, you know, you look at all the quotes that Belichick gave about Garoppolo and, you know, how he's a great player, he's a great person, he's going to a great place, and I think that – that's actually something that Belichick did for Garoppolo, was send him to a place that Belichick knew he would succeed because he really did like him. I think that he really envisioned him as being the next guy, and Brady sort of just outlasted him, and there's nothing anything Belichick could do about it. But I don't think the injury really changed anything in terms of the way that Belichick viewed Brady.
They get that. What did they use that pick, or they get a high second? Is that what it is?
They got a second round pick in last year's draft. And they traded that pick like 8,000 times. So you can never figure out exactly what the return was for Jimmy Garoppolo. Until everybody's saying that Belichick did that on purpose, so no one could actually say, hey, the Patriots got X player for Garoppolo and go it like that.
That's awesome.
Probably true.
All right, Ryan.
Thanks, buddy. Good stuff.
No problem, guys. Thanks a lot.
That's Ryan Annable with WEEI in Boston. Really fun. Really a good
I wouldn't put it past anybody, especially Belichick.
Not
too.
At all.
You know.
Hey, now's your chance, not your chance, David, but now is our listener, one of our lucky listeners. Here's your chance to win $1,000 in cash on the score. This hour's keyword is soda. Text the word soda to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is soda. Please don't leave a soda in the car overnight. It will blow up in this weather. Text the word soda to 72881. One.
Shouldn't it be pop?
No, don't not pop.
One.
Not.
Okay, it's soda.
Soda.
Not Coke.
Yeah.
Not anything
You're
else.
Saying that this is more of a northern thing. Yeah.
Soda.
S-O-D-A. I would like you to put a banana peel down there and then maybe spray me with some soda as I fall.
Wow.
No? One randomly, then you could throw.
That's quite a sentence, man.
And then hit me with a whipped cream pie. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply.
Thanks for keeping us the number one sports station in Chicago. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago.
You think of the Home Depot for bedroom or bathroom updates, but bed linens or bath towels? Now you can find premium names like Laura Ashley, Eddie Bauer, and The Company Store at homedepot.com. It's a new year. Start with fresh new towels and bed linens from homedepot.com. Right now, up to 40% off with any order over $45 delivered free. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. U.S. only valid through February 3rd. Enter promo code BEDBATH15 at purchase for an extra 15% off.
Open house.
The biggest sporting event of the year is coming up this Sunday. You'll want to get skin in the game. Don't miss out on the final opportunity to play fantasy football this season with Single Game Showdown, the newest way to play at DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports. DraftKings is ending the season with a bang for the big game by offering new users a free shot at, wait for it, $1 million. Yes, $1 million with your first deposit. If you've been thinking about trying DraftKings, now's the time. DraftKings has taken fantasy football from just 1 week to just one game, making it easier to draft your lineup. All you have to do is draft six players from the big game, one captain, five other players. Your captain will earn 1.5 times the points. You can go for value or for star power to anchor your lineup. It's that simple. Six players from one game. Just stay under the salary cap and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Go to DraftKings.com or download the app now. For a limited time, use code CHICAGO to enter the all-new single-game showdown contest for free this Sunday with your first deposit and compete for the $1 million top prize. That code CHICAGO only at DraftKings. The game inside the game, minimum $5 deposit.